Hey friend, I'm Mike McCurry. Thank you for joining me for Bible Tract Echoes today. I'm looking forward to what God has for us. You see, I get to speak on a subject that is very near and dear. The Lord has laid on my heart the theme, this thought, the household of faith. That's what we will be speaking about today and the majority of this week, and we will take as our text as we begin Psalm 78. You know, not long ago, we had the opportunity to host my father-in-law in our studio. You say, what studio? Well, that's Paul Levine Studios. You see, a few years ago, we had a designated gift come in, a donation specifically, so that we could update and upgrade and build out some of our recording abilities. You're actually listening right now on some materials and some tools and things, microphones and whatnot, that are part of that studio. But this gift came in, and you know how designated gifts work. We should use them for the gift, for the purpose for which they were meant. And so this particular gift was for a studio, and we have had the opportunity to outfit our building, our location in Odell, Illinois, with some incredible equipment. And to God be the glory, we've been able to produce some music and walk in the steps of Paul Levine, our founder. You know how dear music was to him and how active he was in that genre of ministry. He and Blind Bob Finley had a wonderful time, and we were banding about different names. What do we call this endeavor? What do we call this studio? It felt apropos. It felt right to call it Paul Levine Studios. And I am blessed to be able to explain to you the how and the why it came to be. Oftentimes, names get slapped on things, the side of buildings and different memorial areas, but very rarely is there an opportunity to understand and to enjoy the person behind that name. And Paul Levine was one who was so widely enjoyed. His personality, his mentality, his spirit was infectious. He was a very spiritual man, yes, but he was just a fun-loving man. He was a good man. And so we're grateful to have Paul Levine Studios. And recently, we got to host my father-in-law. Partly, yes, as a keepsake, but also my father-in-law has a very good voice, and he sings well and has been musical much of his life and has used that gifting for the Lord in many different occasions. And so we were working on a solo, well, not just a solo, but a family project of my father-in-law. And the working title right now is something along the lines of Things That Are Dear to My Heart. Things That Are Dear to My Heart. What a wonderful phrase, what a wonderful title for an album. But it got me thinking. I was sitting in my office, and though the room that we record in is somewhat soundproofed, you know, very little of soundproofing is perfect, if ever, and so I was listening and enjoying. I got to act as a little bit of producer on the project. And Austin, of course, my brother-in-law, this is our father-in-law I'm talking about, Dan Woodward. But Austin, he is the engineer, and does a phenomenal job with that. And they were working together in the studio. I was up in my office working on some things and got to hear. And I realize that I am not, and please understand I'm not doing this right now, I'm not writing my father-in-law's eulogy or anything like that, but my father-in-law has an understanding of the fact that our days are limited. Should the Lord return, we'll all go home all at once, those of us that are in Christ, that are saved. But he also realizes, should natural events continue on, he is about 67 years old or so, and he says it this way, he has more sand in the bottom of the hourglass than he does in the top. What a great way to think about it. But also, it calls you to remembrance of the fact that our days are limited. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. I may think I have plenty of sand in the top of the hourglass, but there's no reason I couldn't meet with an unfortunate event, and no reason that God couldn't call me home if that was His will. As I've spoken about recent days, I drove a Toyota Land Cruiser off a 25-foot cliff. No, not as a stuntman, but a complete accident, a mechanical issue, and I was in Papua New Guinea. It would have been, if I had been injured, it would have been a long time till I would have gotten to some kind of working hospital of any ability, and could have very easily just broken my neck out in the first impact. But it wasn't my time. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be tomorrow. It doesn't mean it couldn't be this week or next year. And I don't mean to be morbid, but My father-in-law understands at 67 years old, God's given him a long ministry. He's pastored our home church, First Baptist of Dwight, here in Illinois for 38 years. What a legacy. And we could talk about that. We will talk about that a little more in just a moment. But think about with me, if you would, the household of faith. That's what I was reflecting on. I think God used this occurrence, listening to my father-in-law sing, to think about the household of faith. I'm very blessed with a father who loves the Lord, a mother who loves the Lord, who raised us in the nurture and admonition of God Almighty. My wife, her sisters were blessed with a mother and father that did the same. And you may be thinking, and Brother Micah, that's wonderful for you, because I didn't have that privilege. Maybe you that are listening right now, you say, my father, my mother, whether they're living or not, they did not live for the things of the Lord. Well, it's amazing to me that you and I, this is really just a part of God's grace, James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. You and I have the opportunity, no matter what our past looks like, we can break those generational chains, the bondage from yesteryear, and we can move forward, even if your family is you, even if your household is singular at the moment, even if you've made mistakes in marriage, made mistakes with your children, you can go forward. It would not shock me. I would not be surprised in the least if I was speaking to people right now with generational trauma in your past. Maybe some things of your own fault and things that you'd own to. You didn't raise your children the way you should have, and now they're living like hellions. Maybe that's the case. But maybe it's time to stop living life through the rear view mirror. And maybe it's time to move forward. Yes, it will require faith. It's going to be a difficult road. I'm not saying it's going to be a bed of ease, but I think it's a worthy road. I'd ask you, if you would, to turn your attention to Psalm 78. Talking today for just a moment about why do we take legacy? Why do we take this household of faith so seriously? And I think the scripture can be and always should be our guide. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. In verse 7 of Psalm 78, as the last today, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. If you were looking for a Bible definition of that which I speak about today, the household of faith, then maybe look no further than these 7 glorious verses. These verses highlight the grave responsibility of each generation to pass on the knowledge of God's deeds and character. Often we focus so much on what God has done, but we don't focus as much on who he is. The legacy of faith is not just about transferring information. The household of faith is not just about transferring information, but about ensuring the next generation knows who God is and what he has done. And so I ask, as we move forward, let's get practical. Father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, I could just list off titles for family members, uncles, aunts, and on down the line, but even children. What are you doing right now to pave the way? I've spoken many a time on multi-generational ministry, and really, this is probably just an addendum. This is probably a continuation of that thought, but this burdens me. I can't tell you what a joy it is when my children take things they have learned from me and hold me accountable. I've said this before, but my daughters will at times draw me up short, asking me, did you give that person a gospel tract? Oh my, you want to talk about a knife to the heart. Walking out of a place of business and Emmy looks up at me with her big eyes. Did we give them a tract? The reason you're asking is probably because we did not, Emmy. And I'm so thankful for the fact that your impetuousness causes me to pause and say, you know what? We're going to walk right back in there. And we're going to give her a track. And oftentimes, she takes the onus. She takes the responsibility. She says, I want to give it to them. I remember it. I want to give it to them. Absolutely, Emmy. And she'll use, and to watch her use a phrase that I so often use. Hey, if you have a moment, I'd like you to read this. If you would, take this here. I have something for you to read when you have a moment. I'll say something along those lines. Just very simple. Hey, just slide it across there. And she'll hand it to them so bravely. My prayer is she keeps that courageousness for the rest of her life. But she also keeps me accountable in that way. Oh, what a thought. That my six-year-old girl. What a wonderful thought. That she would draw me up short like that. Hope she never stops. What a blessing. Well, I'm glad for the fact, though, and please understand I say this with modesty, I'm glad for the fact that she has observed her mother and her father use gospel tracts enough that it has become somewhat imprinted, ingrained in her. We're endeavoring to raise a godly, a Christ-like, a biblical household of faith. We are not perfect. Maybe if I was, I wouldn't forget to use gospel tracts every once in a while. But we're not perfect. Neither are you. Neither are any of us. But we do have a mandate. We must take legacy, the household of faith, so seriously. Let's go forward. Let's see what God will do through us. We're going to continue in this vein, in this thought tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening in. Have a great day for His glory. I so greatly, so appreciate your investment of time. Talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracts, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.